preacher.
Well, amen. Praise God. Sir, appreciate that. All right.
What's that?
Mike.
Hello? 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 That picture is up there, isn't it? I saw that picture. It looked just like my brother. My brother's about 92 years old. And I didn't realize how much we looked alike, amen, until I saw that picture and said, oh, that's my brother. When was he here? And then I realized, oh, that's not him. That's me. Oh, no. But anyhow, I was going to say something very, very important. Then when I saw that picture, it just went on. I am going to turn that fan on here in just a second. It's about 510 degrees up here. You want to warm up? Come up here. Amen. I am melting here. I want to thank you for having me again. And I'm not just saying this. I know that sometimes people just say things because it's the thing to say. But I'm not just saying this because it's the thing to say. I enjoy coming here. I missed last year. I really did miss last year. And I consider each and every one of you my friends. And I feel so inadequate. But when I come here, you folks make me feel like I can preach. And so helps, amen, keep me going. And I do want to say thank you for the meals, all the food, and I don't think I lost any weight. I looked at that picture, and I realized it was me because it was the fat guy, my brother's skinny, and I'm the fat guy in the family. But again, I want to thank you for everything, and especially the love offering, which was tremendous. Praise God. I tell you what. I was telling the preacher today, he took me out to a little cafe down in Geneva. And we were sitting there. And I ordered a egg, bacon, and cheese burger. And I said, I want to get my cholesterol up. But anyhow, I was eating my egg, bacon, and cheese burger with onion and ketchup and mustard and anything else I could throw on there. And I told him, I said, one of the things we're trying to do is get all of our bills paid off so next year we can travel together. And our desire is to get back on the road full time, and I'd love to be able to buy a nice camper, but the ones that are nice are too expensive, and the ones that aren't so nice are the ones you don't want to, you're not sure they'll go 10 miles after you get them. But anyhow, that's our desire, and so that'll help us. The love offering will help in that goal to pay off our bills, And I keep telling my wife, why don't you send those bills to Bill? But she won't do that either. So she thinks I'm crazy sometimes. But I am. Actually, I am crazy. But I am convinced that a normal person wouldn't do what we do. Amen? I'm convinced of that. I got a message. Oh, wait, I don't want to get to that yet. How many got their verses? Verses. Huh? All right, what are the verses? Let's wait. I'm getting ahead of myself here. All right. What was the first verse? John 14:14, and who knows it? Who knows it? You know it? I put you on the spot, didn't I? All right. John 14:14. I think she said that right. I'm losing my hearing. All right, so John 14:40. What was the next one?
95:6.
Okay, who knows it? Deb knows it? Okay, go ahead.
For
I'm so proud of you. You're not doing the Dave Cramer thing, reading it off of there. All right, what's the third one?
Philippians
1:21. Anybody else know it? You know that one? Praise the Lord. Philippians 1:21. How about the next one? Proverbs 3. We only have one person here. You know it? Sounds good. What's the next one?
Galatians 5:14.
Amen. Yes. For all. Even in this. Thou shalt love thy.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Very good. All right. You keep working on it, you know. Amen. Anybody know it without any hesitation? No, Galatians 5:14. You were waiting for the next one. Did you already know that? That's kind of cheating.
Because I know the Bible. That should be good.
What's the next one?
Revelation 21:4.
Okay.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed
away. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you thought that was all of them, didn't you? I got one for you for Sunday. The preacher's going to have to test you on Sunday, okay? Psalm 122:1. Psalm 122:1. And you might say, well, why did you pick this? Because you need to be in church. Okay? Psalm 122:1. You got it in your Bible? You can open your Bible if you want to Psalm 122:1. How many know it without looking? Nobody? Psalm 122:1.
Oh, I know this.
You just didn't know where it was at.
Yeah, I just remember the address.
You're the... That's the first time I've heard that all week, the address. That's what we used to say, the address. We used to say that years ago. And I thought people got away from it. Reference sounds so much more knowledgeable.
I don't
think
I myself in knowledge.
Don't sell yourself short, okay? You're the one's been saying all the verses, for heaven's sakes. Amen. All right, Psalm 122:1. You read it with me. Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 122:1. How many of you on Sunday morning say, well, I'm glad I get to go to the house of God? Amen? Or how many get up on Sunday morning and say, ah.
That used to be.
Sometimes we say that too.
Especially pushing over. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, my dad, he looked at snow and ice as a challenge. And very little kept him out of church. We always got there somehow. Then, if it was a really bad day, we'd get to church and find out that it had been called off. We had to go home. We had to dig our way home. All right. That's good. I'm glad that everybody's working on that. Amen. John chapter 14, if you will. John chapter 14. I'll preach quick. You listen quick. And we'll be out of here before you know it. We're going to be eating rice pudding.
Praise the Lord.
Rice pudding. And there's all kinds of goodies back there. I don't know what that is, that cake is, but that looks good too. And I don't think we're going to lose any weight tonight. Remember, I just don't have any confidence in the fact that we're going to lose any weight. All right, John chapter 14. Now, what's an evangelist supposed to do? What's he here for?
Make you uncomfortable.
Make you uncomfortable. Now, everybody's settled in, and I'm going to unsettle you. Let's all stand together. Let's all stand together. And I'm going to confess my faults one to another. I'm going to confess my faults. But the preacher has a stand for all the sons. And I got to thinking, you know, this is really unfair to the preacher because I have to get up and stand while you guys are sitting. Amen?
So you get to sit
and
down.
Yeah, I did sit down. What? That is an idea, but I'm not going to do it. All right, what were we doing? Oh, I'm making you uncomfortable. Let's look here in John chapter 14. Start reading in verse 1. It says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do love you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your house tonight. Lord, I pray that you just help us to realize what we have here. Lord, we have a freedom that too many people just take for granted. There are places on this earth where they would love to come to a place like this and worship you, and they can't. But we can here. And Lord, even though we're losing a lot of our freedoms, we're seeing some things happen in our country, we still have this freedom. Help us to appreciate it. Help us to hold on to it with everything that we've got. And Lord, I just pray that we'd be attentive to your word tonight and help us to learn something and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and help us to leave here different than when we came. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to notice the last part of verse 3. I love this. And I was sitting there some time ago, and I read that, and I had to stop and read this last part over and over again. That where I am, there ye may be also. Do you realize that one of these days we're going to be with Jesus? You know, somebody said, well, where's Jesus? Well, I know exactly where he's at. He's in heaven. You think about it, when Stephen was in the process of being stoned, he looked up and saw Jesus where? In heaven. Acts chapter 7, 55, verse 55, I believe. So he's in heaven. And by the way, when Stephen was in the process of being stoned, Jesus was not seated at the right hand of the Father. He was standing. And so many times I thought that the reason he was standing was because he's preparing to come back. I don't think that was the case. I think he was standing because of his compassion for Stephen. He knew what Stephen was going through. And when Stephen saw him, I believe he had his arms outstretched like this and said, come home. Come home. And I believe that he says the same to us. You know, we're going to be with Jesus one day. He's in heaven, and that's where I want to be one of these days. I want to be with Jesus, that where I am, there he may be also. You know, the Apostle Paul writes that a little different. Look, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians. I know you know what I'm talking about over here in chapter 4 when we talk about the rapture. Down here in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians verses 13 to 18. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, nothing worse than ignorant brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that tonight? Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus or have died in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, he's not sending some angel to do this for him. He's not sending Paul to do it, or Peter, or even Moses, or whatever. He is coming back himself. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And by the way, study it in the New Testament. Every time you find Jesus shouting or using a loud voice, something happens. People come alive. John chapter 11, he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! Lazarus came forth. Amen. So every time he shouts, this something great happens. And for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, someday we're going to be with Jesus, and there will be no time that we're ever separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be with Him for all of eternity. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting stuff right there. Just, we could stop right there and just say, glory. Glory, hallelujah, amen. That was a good message, preacher. I'm glad you pointed that out. And I'm glad I did too, because it made me feel good, amen. I want you to think about heaven tonight. And the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Set your affection on things above. The Bible says to send our treasures on ahead to heaven, not to amass them here where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but to send your treasure on ahead. Boy, I want to tell you something. I want to go to glory, and I want to see what it's really like. You know something? I don't think we'll ever really fully grasp what God has done for us. I think that we're going to enjoy heaven, but I think it'll be an adventure every day. In glory, there's going to be something new, something glorious. I want you to think about heaven. And like I said, I'll preach quick, and we'll be out here before you know it. But the H, I'm going to make an acrostic out of this. And I like to do that because it gets our mind on a particular word. And this word that we're thinking about tonight is heaven. So Matthew chapter 25, if you will, notice back here. Matthew chapter 25. I want you to notice the H in heaven is happiness. Happiness. Sometimes we think we're happy. I remember the Apostle Paul said to Agrippa, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Notice he didn't say, I am happy, King Agrippa. No, he says, I think myself happy. You know, a lot of times we in life have this joy over something that's taken place, and we think we're happy. We're in this state of happiness. But I don't think we'll ever truly be happy until we get to heaven. You know why? Because we're tainted with sin here. And we're not breathing celestial air yet. And one of these days we will. But notice what it says down here in Matthew 25. And go to verse 21. Matthew 25, verse 21. Now he's... The servants have been tested, and they've been given talents, and this is how they proved themselves and done what God wanted them to do, their Lord wanted them to do. But look at verse 21. It says, his Lord said unto him, you know, there's a day of accounting. Well done, and he's done well and gained other talents. And it says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You see, it's not what we do for the Lord is not for naught. It's there's a purpose. And one of these days we're going to be allowed into the joy of the Lord. That'll excite you. That'll stir some of you up to smile. Amen. The joy of the Lord. Think about that. Look down here in verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Boy, I want to tell you something. One of these days, we're going to be caught up out of this old world. We're going to meet the Lord, and we're going to go through the judgment seat of Christ. Now, regardless of what you think, the judgment seat of Christ is not going to be a happy time. That's not where you receive your happiness. You go through all the things that's been done in the body, whether they be good or bad. And as you go through those things, I'm sure every one of us will say, boy, I wish I had done things differently in my life. I know I'm going to say that. And there will be tears at that time. But eventually, if we've served God, we've done what God wanted us to do, did it in the right attitude, we're going to receive a crown. We're going to hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So after the judgment seat of Christ, this is what we want to hear. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Whew. Look, if you will, back here in Psalm 16. Now, before we're done, we might be acting like we're charismatics or something. But it's something to get excited about, don't you think? Look at Psalm 16. And notice what it says here in Psalm 16. In verse 11. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. Now, there's a difference between the path of life and in his presence. We're not in his presence right now, but we will be. In thy presence is fullness of what? Joy. At thy right hand there are what?
Pleasures
forevermore. Folks, when we get to glory, we'll know what joy and happiness is all about. When we get to glory, we're going to know what pleasure is. You know, the world has this idea about pleasure. And then you talk to different people, they'll give you different answers about pleasure, what real pleasure is. But I don't think we really know because we're in this sinful state. But one day, in glory, heaven, we're going to understand the joy of the Lord, and we will enjoy the pleasures of heaven forevermore.
Amen.
How would you like to be happy all the time? All the time. You never lose your temper, you're never mad, things never go wrong. Oh, that sounds like heaven to me.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It is heaven. Oh, man. Preacher, you got it. You hit the nail on the head. All right. The E in heaven. Extreme beauty. When we get to glory, we're going to see extreme beauty. Look, if you will, back here in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. And notice what it says here. Revelation chapter 4. In verse 1 of Revelation chapter 4, I think we have the rapture. And it says here in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. I believe that's when the saints are caught up to glory, okay? Now, And immediately, verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds awesome. You know, Isaiah got a vision of glory back there in Isaiah chapter 6, and he was ushered into the throne room of God, and when he was there, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw his train that filled the temple, and he saw the smoke that came from the throne. And by the way, the smoke's the judgment of God. And he saw all of this, and when he saw it, he saw pure holiness. And he says, woe is me, I am undone. You know what? When we're ushered into the throne room of God, right before the glory of God, and we stand before pure holiness, there's not a one of us that'll say, woe is me, I am undone. Why? Because we've been saved by the blood of the crucified one, and the only reason we're there is because we're saved by the blood. I guarantee you, if you're lost, you'll never be in the throne room of God. Never be there. But we will be. We'll be ushered into extreme beauty. Look, if you will, back here in chapter 21 of Revelation. Chapter 21. Look down here in verse 10. Start reading there. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it all is equal. All are equal. Of it are equal. I'll get it right. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measuring of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysophorus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Oh, my goodness. And every gate was of one pearl. What on earth the size of that pearl? And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And we're going to be in that city. Folks, I want you to understand something. That's extreme beauty. And there's people in this world that will shrug at the idea of ever being in heaven. They'll give that up for this life and the pleasures of this life. But yet the pleasure is on the other side. The pleasure is in the midst of pure beauty, extreme beauty. Next, I want you to think about this. The A in heaven. All that's good. There's not going to be any sin in heaven. No sin. Now we're here in Revelation chapter 21. Notice what it says down here in verse 27. Verse 27, it says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Look back up here in verse 24. This is so good, I can't pass it up. "And the nations of them which are saved," saved, underline that, saved. I asked somebody one time, "Are you saved?" He says, "What does that mean?" Well, yeah, I go to such and such church down here, and you never hear the term saved? What's wrong with you? You need to get out of that church. I want to go to a church that talks about being saved.
Amen.
You see, it's only the saved that are going to be allowed into glory. Isn't that what it says here? Look, it says, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth." Well, I want to tell you something, there's not going to be any sin, no sin in heaven. It's all good in heaven. You know, I've heard people say, "Well, it's all good." They're talking about something this world does. No, I want to tell you something. I do know what's all good. That's glory. That's glory. Look, if you will, back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice what it says down here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Start reading here in verse 9. It says, "Know ye not..." This is the Apostle Paul writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." I think that's pretty plain, don't you? They aren't going to be in heaven. Notice what it says here in verse 11, "And such were some of you." But notice the word "were." That's past tense. Everything's in the past. I'm a new creature now. How did I become a new creature? Well, I placed my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. His shed blood made me a new creature. I'm not what I used to be. I told you about John Lehman. I don't know if you're putting this on the internet. John Lehman would probably give me a call and say, "Will you quit using me as an example?" And anyhow, I told you about John Lehman. He was quite a character and a great sinner. But when he got saved, all of that was in the past. He never went back to it. See, there was a change in his life. He was a new creature. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things became new. It's all different now. And that's the way it should be when you get saved. Old things. You know, if I was an extortioner after I get saved, I shouldn't be an extortioner anymore. If I was not an adulterer, that should change the moment I get saved. A fornicator, whatever it may be, an idolater, and effeminate, whatever it may be, all those things change. "Such were some of you." But now notice what it says in verse 11. "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, which ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You see, once you place your trust in Christ, it's all taken care of by the blood. So only those that are saved are going to, oh, that's good, in glory. Well, I'll tell you what, I like that. You know, I'm opposed to a government telling our people they can't smoke, but I hate having smoke blown in my face. And, you know, the bad thing is, you go into a place and there's no smoking there, but you walk out, somebody's standing by the door blowing smoke in your face as you come out. But that's not going to happen in glory. Nobody's going to blow any smoke. And you know what? There's not going to be any smell of booze in glory. No beer, no alcohol. Why? Because only that which is good is going to be there. All that's good. The V in heaven is victory. By the way, when we get to glory, we're going to know what victory is all about. Look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I love this passage of Scripture. And something that we've got to look forward to. Could happen tonight, by the way. Could happen right now. Be all right with me if it happened right now. How about you? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That'd be a quick way for my wife and I to get together. We wouldn't have to. She wouldn't have to wait for me to drive that 1,200 miles home. We could just meet in the air. Amen. See the Lord together. I don't know if it's going to happen that way. That's right. Yeah. I don't have to drive that 18, 19 hours. Just meet her in glory. Praise God. Oh, that's chasing rabbits. Let's get back to business here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look down here in verse 51. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And by the way, corruption can't go to glory. It has to be incorruption. Mortality can't go to glory. It has to be immortality. And he explains that. Look at verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." That would be our victory song. Think about it. That's our victory song. You know what? The verse we learned for tonight, Revelation 21, verse 4. No more death. No more trips to the cemetery. No more funeral services. It's swallowed up in victory. Now notice what it says here. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin." Is there going to be sin in glory? We've already talked about it. No, only good is in glory. So sin's out, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, that puts you on shouting ground, doesn't it? In His presence, there is victory forevermore. You know, I think about it this often, and I think about after we're raptured, we're in glory, and pretty soon our commanding officer says to us in glory, "It's time to mount up." And we go and we mount up on those white stallions. Amen. You think you ride horses now, wait until you're in glory. Those white stallions. And I want to tell you something. We're going to come back with the victorious one. Amen. He's going to win the victory. there will be an army that will be amassed that this world has never seen the likes of before. And Jesus, you know, we're coming back, and I don't think we're prepared to fight. All we've got is robes on. We have no shield, no sword, nothing. But we come back with these white robes, and you know, our leader, all he has to do is say the word, and the army is defeated. I like victory like that.
Amen.
It's all, you know what? When we get to heaven, it's all victory. There'll be no defeats. There's never a time we'll be ever be defeated. We'll never be dejected because we were defeated in some battle. That's not going to happen because we have won the battle. We've won the victory. And how do we do it? Through Jesus. You know, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him. And they're talking about the old devil, Slewfoot himself. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I want to tell you something. How did we overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb, that's how we win the victory. All right, the E in heaven, it's eternal. It's eternal. Look, if you go back in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And notice what it says down here in Matthew chapter 25. If I can find it. I know it's there. Matthew 25, down here in verses 45 and verse 46. It says, then shall he answer them, saying, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The word eternal means perpetual, forever, everlasting. It's not, it will never end. So when we get to glory, it will never end. Never. And by the way, all the things that we enjoy in glory, we will enjoy throughout all of eternity. What is it, the Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years? Can you imagine 10,000 years would be nothing in glory? When we've been there 10 million years, that's nothing in glory. You know something? We'll never, never worry about the start of a day, the end of a day. Why? Because glory, it'll be daytime all the time. And somebody say, well, I'll rest after I pass out of this world. We won't need to rest. We're going to have new bodies, and they'll be perpetual. They'll never grow old. They'll never wear out. They'll never have any pain. There's not going to be problems with them. So we're eternal. And when my Bible says that when I see him, I'll be like him. Now, you know what? I'm not going to be God. So mark that down. You're not going to be God either. But when you see him, you'll be like him. You'll have the body that he has. And that body is going to be perpetual. I won't have to ever clean glasses again. One of the tasks I hate in life is cleaning glasses, and I really hate it when I get up in the morning and I'm reaching for my glasses, and I put a thumbprint right in the middle of my glasses, and I say, ah, now I gotta clean these stupid things. I hate doing that. One of these days I'll never have to do it again. I'll not have to take any pain medicine. My back will not hurt ever again. I get these horrible cramps in my hip. And people think I'm crazy, but I have to immediately stand up and stand on that leg. If I don't, that cramp will never go away. And I'm bouncing around because I got this cramp. And people think I'm nuts, but that's the way I have to deal with it. That isn't going to happen anymore. Yeah, I got to tell you something. This is exciting stuff. It's eternal. It's everlasting. That's what everlasting life is. It's everlasting. What does everlasting mean? Well, it means forever. It means forever. My cousin, this is going to be on the internet, isn't it? I won't mention his name. My cousin is a pastor in another group. And they don't believe in eternal security. And I asked him one time, well, what does everlasting mean? You know, you Baptists. Well, it's not us Baptists. It's the Word of God. It's everlasting. It's eternal. The end in heaven. We're getting down to the end here. Look back in Revelation 21 again. And I want you to notice something. This is so great, and you already know this stuff. You don't even need me to say it. You know all of this stuff. But notice what it says. Down here, Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to start reading verse 3, but the last letter in heaven is N, and it's new. New. Revelation 21, verse 3, we're going to start reading. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Well, I want to tell you something. The touch of His finger on the cheek as He wipes away our tears, that will be so special. He'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Look at verse 5. "And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold," this is one of the greatest statements in all of Scripture. "Behold, I make all things new." Oh, man. You know what? I've got some people in my church that go antiquing. They buy the stupidest looking junk and they pay outrageous prices for it. And they bought this stuff that's all rusty and they got it sitting out in their yard. I said, "Why do you do that? You can go to Walmart and get a new one. And I know it's a lot cheaper than what you paid for that one." And they think I'm crazy because I don't understand antiquing. One of these days there will be no antiques. All things are going to be new. You know, I like old cars. I like to look at old cars. I do. I really do. But there's nothing in this world like a new car. Nothing in this world. There's a Ford dealer that's just a little bit north of us, and he specializes, apparently, in Mustangs. And I tell you what, you give me a Mustang, you can have all the old cars you want. I'll take the Mustang anytime. Amen. Give me a Mustang with a 5.0 and you can have all the junk you want. Folks, one of these days, it's all going to be new. And we're not going to be thinking about Mustangs on that side. Matter of fact, Mustangs, that's the former things that are passed away. And Corvettes, too, and all that junk. But it's all going to be new. I don't know about you, but I got to thinking about that. All things new. I don't think I've ever had a closet where I didn't get something from Goodwill or get a hand-me-down. I've never had all things new. I've never been in a completely new house, unless it belonged to somebody else. I have had new furniture, but I bet you somebody sat on it before I did. And you know what? It's all this stuff it's part of this world. But one of these days, everything's going to be new. It's going to be perpetual. It will always be new. It will be glory. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to glory. I'm looking forward to glory. Somebody say, "Oh, you're just becoming a sentimental old man." I'm not old yet. Don't pin me with that. I'm not. But I may be a little sentimental because I've been studying this for a good long time. I've been at this for 40 years. And I want to tell you something. Heaven just sounds very sweet to me. And as I stand before you tonight, it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if we were raptured out of here right now. Because it's very sweet. Now, if you're hooked up to this world and you're holding on to the things of this earth, you don't understand that. But here's the sweetest thing of all. John chapter 14, verse 3. Jesus said that where I am, that where I am, there ye shall be also. You see, this is what's really going to make heaven glorious, is being with Jesus. Why? Because He's the one that sacrificed for me and shed His blood for me. And I realize there's going to be millions upon millions of saved people, but at the same time, He did it for me. And when He hung there on that cross, He was thinking about me. And folks, I want you to understand something. I'm glad that there was a time in my life I realized my lost condition. And I repented of my sins. And somebody say, well, you know, an 8-year-old boy doesn't have that many sins. I don't know. I sure felt like I did. At that time, I felt like I was the worst person ever. And Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. I think I was the chiefest of sinners. And I got down on my knees and I called out to Jesus. And He came into my heart and saved me. And now I can look forward to being with Him in glory. Let's stand very quietly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Lord, we do love You. We thank You for this time that we can spend together in Your house. Lord, it's a sweet thing that we can think of heaven right now. And you know, we could preach on heaven every Sunday, and I don't think I'd ever get tired of it. Just make me long for it that much more. Just to see the mansions in glory, and make me think that all those people that think it's going to be a cubicle and all of a sudden they see mansions, it'll shock them. I'm looking forward to the mansion. I'm looking forward to the streets of gold. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I'm looking forward to hugging my mom again. I'm looking forward to seeing my dad, grandma and grandpa. I'm looking forward to glory because I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Please work now, we pray, in this invitation. Help us to be prepared for glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll get you to play a song for us. And when that piano starts to play, the invitation's open. You need to come and pray. Please, please do. You know some lost folks? Why don't you come and pray for them? Especially family. You don't want to leave family behind. You want them in glory with You.